Video audience to the sanctuary of Trinity United Methodist Church, located at 333 South Chestnut Street. If you enjoy our radio ministry and would like to further the building of His kingdom, you can visit our website at www.dev.tumcseymour.org. On Saturday, April 1st, at 10 a.m., our church is offering a community Easter egg hunt. We hope that you will bring your kiddos out to enjoy the morning here at Trinity United Methodist Church. Then, the next day, Sunday, April 2nd, we hope you bring the kiddos back from 4 to 6 p.m. to involve them in our Journey to the Cross program. It'll be a fun journey for them to learn about what God did for us. And again, that is at 333 South Chestnut Street here in Seymour. This morning, we will have special music entitled Why Me, Lord, by Proof. And then we will have our scripture reading from Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, everyone. Mr. Proof and I are here to share some music this week. It's called Why Me, Lord. It's a real beautiful song, even if we sing it. The words are beautiful. It covers just about everything. It covers redemption, forgiveness, or like we read in the Lenten reading this morning, shortcomings, and transformation. It was written by a gentleman named Chris Christopherson back in 1972. Many of us remember this song. So if you feel led when we get to the chorus, belt it out with us. All right? Tony, you hear me? All right. Just check it. Just check it. Anybody else who wants to belt it out, you're more than welcome to. In fact, if you want to come up here and join us, you're welcome to.
Yes, please.
Absolutely. But anyway, we feel blessed to be providing this song for you today. And Mark said, Jimmy, it's only got two verses. I said, okay, let's do it. So we channeled another verse out today. And just like we did last time, you figure out which one it is, okay? Why me, Lord?
What have I ever done to deserve even one of the pleasures I've known?
Tell me, Lord,
what did I ever do to deserve loving you or the kindness you've shown? Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
Try me, Lord.
If you think there's a way I can ever repay all I've taken from you,
maybe, Lord,
I can show someone else what I've been through myself on my way back to you. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus, I know what I am.
You can sing.
Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
Forgive me, Lord,
all the times I confess that I don't do my best of living for you.
But thank you, Lord,
for loving me just the same. You take my guilt and my shame, and you make me brand new. Lord, help me, Jesus, I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. I know what I am. Now that I know that I've needed you, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hand. Lord, help me, Jesus. I've wasted it, so help me, Jesus. My soul's in your hands. Jesus, my soul's in your hands.
Thank you, sir.
Again, that was Proof, and they did amazing this morning. We will now turn to our scripture reading again, which was in Romans chapter 8, verses 6 through 11, found on page 1118 in your Pew Bible. All right. The mind of a sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. The sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's laws, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God. You, however, are controlled not by the sinful nature, but by the Spirit. If the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he does not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, your body is dead because of sin, yet your spirit is alive because of righteousness. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who lives in you. The word of God to the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
And now we will have our sermon entitled Enjoy the Scenery by Pastor Angel Armstrong.
The last verse that Cassie read, Romans 8:11, is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. Basically, it says that the same power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead lives in each one of us. And as we make our way, today is the fifth Sunday in Lent. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday. And the Sunday after that is Resurrection Sunday, what our entire Christian faith is based upon. As we make our way closer to following Jesus Christ on his journey, we have a foretaste of glory divine, as the wonderful hymnist Fanny Crosby says in her song, Blessed Assurance. Fanny Crosby wrote hundreds of hymns that encourage us on our journey. It's as if the Spirit and the preparers of the lectionary knew that we would need to slow down just a little bit in life to really take in all of the events that are coming in the next couple of weeks, to really pay attention to the foundations of our Christian faith. Next Sunday, Jesus rides in on a donkey, a sign of kingship. And he is praised and glorified, but as the week goes on, he prepares his disciples for when he leaves this earth. He offers us holy communion, the bread of life and the cup of the new covenant, which will sustain us until he returns again. And then he goes through the horrible trials, the beating, the mocking, the crown of thorns mocking him, the robe placed on his beaten and tattered body. As we prepare ourselves to walk with him, let us remind ourselves that sometimes we need to stop and smell the roses. Sometimes we need to stop and participate in life and take it all in, rather than hurrying through life with the hustle and bustle that this society tells us is necessary to keep up with everything in life. Who remembers Sunday drives? I know that Beth and PJ and Janice and Kayla still take a Sunday drive. But do you remember when we would take a drive to grandmother's house? Or we would go to some store that's a little distance away. And the trip was every bit as important as the destination. We would drive along the countryside and follow curves and steep hills. We would see cattle, like the longhorn cattle that we saw yesterday. Those horns were crazy. I can remember my kids saying, "There's moo-moos, Mommy! There's cows!" And sometimes we'd even see a white hill covered with chickens or turkeys as you went by. The scenery and paying attention to God's creation was every bit as important as wherever we were heading to. Those were the days that we loaded up the station wagon and we started out on a trip of a lifetime. Those were the days before GPS, when we used the Atlas and mapped out our trip. Those were the days that you could really enjoy the scenery, and they still are if you want to take an adventure through life. If you want to slow down just a little bit and pay attention to your surroundings, pay attention to your loved ones who are gathered around you. Pay attention to God's beauty. Notice those roses. Notice that scenery. Just map out your itinerary to include some of the places that you really want to view, that you really want to see. And you know, we were talking yesterday about art forms. Nowadays, they have these huge, monstrous art forms alongside the interstates and the highways. And I have to admit that I'm not quite there on understanding what those are. I prefer the museums and the other forms of art. They have this structure on I-94. That is a huge, the biggest buffalo that you have ever seen. But if you really want to see some beauty and some things worth remembering, you have to slow down and take some side trips. Our country is full of beautiful side trips. You can look at the beaches on either coast as you drive. You can see the beautiful evergreen forest or the petrified woods of old. You can drive through the mountains and examine the beauty. The Grand Canyon, one of the most beautiful sights that we can see. And we see the power of creation throughout the Grand Canyon, how that water has carved through the beautiful rock. There are all kinds of different colors. Stand at the edge of that canyon during sunset or sunrise and tell me there's no God. It reflects the majesty of God. And then there's places like Mesa Verde National Park. As you climb those steps and you look upon where our ancestors dwelled thousands of years ago, you see the ingenuity of human beings. It's a miraculous sight to take in. And then in the Dakotas, you look and you see the skill that it took to carve the faces of four American presidents into that rock there. There is so much beauty around us. Go look at the mighty Mississippi rushing by us. And if you use just a little bit of imagination, you can see Tom Sawyer floating by on a raft. Or go to Niagara Falls, and you can see the French tightrope walker crossing the Niagara Falls if you just close your eyes and imagine it. Some real beauty at those falls is at nighttime. Has anybody been to Niagara Falls? Has anybody been there during the night? Isn't that gorgeous to see those lights shining upon the rushing waters? The lights change colors. And sometimes, if you're lucky, they have songs playing there that go along with the changing of the lights and the rushing of the water. It takes your breath away. We have become so disorientated that when we go on trips, our kids sit there with CD players on, or the little ones are watching a movie, and nobody cares about the scenery. Don't bother me with that outside stuff. Just tell me when we get there. Are we there yet? Are we there yet? Are we there yet? We have forgotten how to enjoy life, how to slow down and take it at a pace that reminds us of the beauty in life, that reminds us of the treasures that we have in relationships. Our focus has become just getting there. Aiden loves Greek mythology. The Greeks have a unique race in their ancient Olympic Games. The winner was not the one who finished first, but the one who could carry the torch and keep it lit the entire time that they were running. The focus was not just on the finish line, but making sure that that flame stays lit, that it does not burn out. To live in the spirit enables the life of the flame to keep burning within us. I love the eternal flame that reminds us that the Holy Spirit is always alive, always within us, and always burning brightly to remind us of His presence with us. To live in the flesh takes fuel from our flame, and eventually it burns out. As Christians, we admit that the journey is just as important as the destination. Yet, even Christians are overcome by the distractions of the flesh, which not only attempt to put out the flame of the Spirit, but also try to block our ultimate destination. New York was playing the Milwaukee Braves during a World Series when Yogi Berra was a catcher for the Yankees. As Hank Aaron approached the mound, he tried his chatter. He tried to distract him, and he said, "You're holding that bat wrong. You're supposed to hold it to where you can see the trademark." Hank Aaron ignored him. He hit a home run, which bounced it way out of the park. And as he luxuriously walked from base to base, he got back, he turned and looked at Yogi, and he said, "I didn't come here to read. I came here to play." I loved it. That is how we should walk through life, enjoying the scenery as we go. We are not born into this world just to read about it or to see it portrayed on television or in the movies. We don't need headphones to hear it. We came to actually experience it. Soviet Union leader Nikita Khrushchev, I can't say that quite right, used to tell of a time when the Soviet Union was plagued by all kinds of petty thefts. To overcome the problem, authorities placed guards all around the factories. And those guards knew the people who worked in the factories. As one of the guys came out wheeling a wheelbarrow with a sack in it that had a really odd shape to it, the guard went up to him and said, "What are you trying to smuggle out of here? What do you think you're doing? Dump that sack out." He said, "There's nothing but sawdust and shavings in it." "I said dump it out." So he dumped it out. It was sawdust and shavings. The guard said, "Pick all that up and get out of here." Every day of the week, the same thing continued to happen. Finally, on the last day of the week, the guard looked at the guy and said, "I know you. You are up to something. Tell me what it is you're smuggling out of here, and I'll let you go." The guard looked at him and he said, "Wheelbarrows." "Wheelbarrows, my friend. 5 of them so far." Sometimes things in life distract us. If you are more than 60 years old, you are likely to remember where you were when the news of John Kennedy's being shot came on the radio or came on the television. British novelist David Lodge, in his introduction to one of his books, tells that he was at a theater watching a satirical review that he had helped write. The actor always turned on the radio and had it to a live broadcast to make things seem more real. And all of a sudden, across that broadcast, came the news of JFK being shot. That actor tried to hurry up and turn it off. But you see, reality had already destroyed what was part of the unreality, part of the theater show. Reality had interrupted the performance. We worship, we pray, we read the Bible, but sometimes we do it casually. We don't always believe in the reality in which we are involved. Sometimes we perform in front of others, but we don't really expect anything significant to happen. And then when we least expect it, God breaks through and touches our spirit. How many times have you been sitting in your car or even sitting in a worship service, just barely paying attention, and a song or a scripture reading or something happens and God has broke through and the reality of his glory is shining there upon you. In the garden, we walk with him and we talk with him, and he tells us that we are his very own. What more magnificent thing can we hear than to be told that we are His own? We need to enjoy the scenery in life and don't be distracted by those things that would tempt us to believe anything other than God's kingdom. God's kingdom is a wonderful place filled with beautiful sights and lovely creatures. Though we exist in the flesh, we live in the spirit. As we live in our painful and troubled bodies, we carry the light of the spirit within us, and it is in the weakness of our bodies that we discover the strength of the Holy Spirit in us. As we continue our journey on towards Easter, may God grant you the ability to see all that He has laid out for you, all of the beauty in His creation. And may we be given the strength and the grace to live out this morning's scripture. The mind is governed by the flesh, and that is death. But the mind governed by the Spirit is life and peace. The mind governed by the flesh is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law and God's love. But those who are in the realm of the flesh cannot possibly please God. You, however, who are in the realm of the Spirit, can please God with your worship, with your prayers. I believe our song of response teaches us how to truly live in the realm of the Spirit. It says, "This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I am learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in the suffering, I have to believe it." It says in the chorus, "If you say it's wrong, then I will say no." That's how we follow the Spirit. "If you say release, I will let go. If you say you're in it with me, I'll begin. And when you say to jump, I'm diving in. If you say be still, I will wait. If you say to trust, I will obey. I don't want to follow my own ways. I'm done chasing my feelings. I felt like a burden, but once I could grasp it, you took me further than I was asking. My life is an altar. Let your fire fall." And again, the scripture reading at the very end of today's passage reminds us that that same majestic, mysterious, amazing power that rose Christ Jesus from the dead lives deep within us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Jesus provides for us. Allow that Spirit to be resurrected in each of us.
This is my worship. This is my offering. In every moment, I withhold nothing. I'm learning to trust you, even when I can't see it. And even in suffering, I have to believe it. If you say it's wrong, then I'll It felt like a burden, almost like a crash fit. You took me further, further than I was asking. Trust, I will obey. You're